You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 196. And today, I have a special guest joining us to talk about mindset-driven marketing, how to sell the way your customers want to buy. Are you ready for this? Let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact? Boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hey there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's your host, Melanie Benson. I'm super jazzed for today's special episode. This topic is really speaking to my heart for a couple of different reasons. One, I'm a huge fan of really understanding how to develop messages that inspire our ideal clients to want to buy from us. And so our guest today has kind of flipped it and is now talking about how to sell the way your customers want to buy. And it's so powerful when you learn this. It's what I believe creates our own economy. It allows us to tap in to exactly what our clients need from us. Now, before I introduce our guest, I've got a couple of fun things to share with you. One, I want to make sure you know about our last chance to join this week for the Get Magnetic Messaging. It's the last time we are offering it this year. Get Magnetic Messaging is my 8-week program where you discover how to create a message to deliver on virtual platforms like podcasts, live events, online shows, Facebook videos, things like that. It actually works for anything, but it's exactly fine-tuning that message that maybe has confused you and confronted you or felt like you nailed it, and then people are like, I don't get it. This is the solution to the confusion around messaging. And remember, a confused mind doesn't buy. So if your clients aren't getting it, you've got to really hook them with a powerful, compelling message. And that's what we do in Get Magnetic Messaging. You can head on over to getmagneticmessaging.com. Join us, sign up right away. The very first lesson you get is going to be power packed. So getmagneticmessaging.com. Now I've got something new and special I'm going to be doing occasionally on the podcast, and that is I want to give shout outs to those of you that are taking the time to head over to iTunes, now Apple Podcasts, and leave the Amplify Your Success Podcast a review. So Lori Coomer, you left such a nice and really refreshing review. She said, finally, and gave us 5 stars. I am so happy to have finally found a podcast that speaks to my specific challenges. There are many good podcasts, but Melanie has a way of making me feel like she knows my questions even before I do. I can't wait to listen to them all. Thank you so much. Trust me, we've had some people who've left multiple reviews. We do review them. We do read them. And you leave your full name, we will spotlight you. If you follow my Instagram or Twitter accounts, you know from time to time, we showcase the people who leave us a review because I appreciate you. And I know it takes a few minutes of your time to do it. And it means the world to people who are looking for podcasts just like this. So if you'd like to get in on this, have me spotlight you. And also, if you want to tell me what you love about the podcast, you just have to go to Apple Podcasts and look for leave a review. It's super simple. Then I'll be featuring you in the near future. Now, I also love when people share it on Twitter, when they share it on Facebook, when they share it on LinkedIn, share it on Instagram. Yes, we are paying attention. We do see it. I will give you a shout out as well because we might as well create some buzz and momentum together, right? So let's have some fun with it. And thank you, thank you, thank you for every time you share it, you tell a friend, and you leave a review on Apple Podcasts. So now let's get into today's awesome episode. We are exploring mindset-driven marketing, how to sell the way your customers want to buy. Let me introduce you to my guest today, Kristen Shivago. She's a revenue coach and the president of Shivago Partners, a digital marketing management company, and the author of Roadmap to Revenue, How to Sell the Way Your Customers Want to Buy. Shivago and her team of digital marketing experts focus on helping clients meet their revenue goals by using mindset-driven marketing, which matches the offer to the mindset for a positive outcome. Now, Kristen spent years in the tech industry doing revenue coaching, marketing, and sales turnarounds, and creating campaigns as a leading marketer working in Silicon Valley in the Wild West days, which I love that term. She introduced many of the technologies we all use today, including email, voicemail, spreadsheets, and dozens of other applications. Now we get to learn from this powerhouse how to make sure we sell the way our customers want to buy, which obviously, Kristen, means we're going to sell more. So thanks for joining me today.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. Thanks.
Okay, so I just have to back up a couple of notches here. When you say that you introduced many of the technologies we all know and love today, like email and voicemail, what does that mean?
Well, that means that I was involved in campaigns. My husband and I opened and ran a high-tech agency, ad agency and PR house in Silicon Valley back in those days. And so we were just totally immersed in helping companies introduce those technologies to the world.
Wow. I'm fascinated. I've been in this industry a long time, tech since the 90s. So I remember when a lot of these things were coming out. So kudos. That's exciting. Well, then, from what you just said, I know you've got a very intimate awareness of buying behavior and psychology of buying. And I'm just super fascinated by that whole conversation. And I know right now, more probably than any time, how important it is to really understand how our customers want to buy, so we can overcome a lot of these embedded industry dynamics that come up where literally overnight our customer buying behaviors can change, right?
Yeah, but it's changed drastically anyway since Google became, you know, the world's search engine. I mean, 95% of the searches conducted now are still conducted on Google. So they own that market. And once the two major things, once Google made it possible for you to basically find anything you were looking for. And, you know, everybody's gotten smarter about the search terms they use. So they kind of narrow it down so they get exactly what they want out of Google. I think we've learned how to do that as consumers. And the other major, major, major change was consumers being able to talk to each other easily. So people you never knew, people not just your friends, but people that you've never met before, are giving very detailed reports of their experiences with products, mostly products, but services too, and in different venues, you know, online, you can look that up as well. And just see what the reality of the big question, which nobody ever answers when people are selling, which is, what's going to happen to me after I buy? And consumers have been explaining and telling people what the real experience was after they purchased. That is completely new. You just couldn't get that on the scale that you can now.
Wow.
And sellers have not kept up with that reality at all. And in their mindset, in their own mindset, and understanding the true mindset of their buyers.
And so what I think I hear you saying right now is that most people are buying by searching Google. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, it depends.
Okay.
One of the things I did in my book is I talked about what I call the four levels of scrutiny, the scrutiny spectrum for products and services. There are light, medium, heavy, and intense scrutiny products and services. So light is checkout counter, you know, at the store, and you decide if you're going to buy that candy bar or not. It's an impulse purchase, doesn't cost very much, only have a couple questions, no one else is involved, there's no contract or anything. That's light scrutiny. Medium scrutiny is like clothing, where you have a couple of questions and there might maybe somebody else involved, but usually it's you. And then heavy scrutiny is lots and lots of questions, other people involved in the buying decision, a contract, a salesperson. It's a big commitment and there's a lot of risk involved. So there's a lot of scrutiny, a lot of questions. And then intense is all of that, plus you get married. It's a long-term commitment, or it's an enormous contract or something like that. Once you realize where your product or service falls on the spectrum, you don't waste as much time trying to sell it the wrong way. So that was one big thing I did in the book, is just describe those buying processes and how we should approach those with people.
You had me at four types of scrutiny. I was like, oh, this is brilliant. And it's so true, because, you know, people aren't going to have the same scrutiny level of buying a house as they are buying a coaching program, but really understanding those differences, you know, we can't sell a coaching program the way we would sell a t-shirt. We have to really understand what's going on in someone's mind.
Yeah. And mind, I'm glad you said that word, because lately everything just sort of came together for me when I realized that, and I've come up with this phrase, mindset-driven marketing, which is not our mindset. There's a lot of stuff out there about, you know, here's your entrepreneurial mindset and now you get to sell more aggressively and all that. It's not about that. It's about your customer's mindset when they set out to make a purchase. What were their desires? What were their concerns? What were their questions? You have to know that. It's very specific. Very specific. And as buyers, we know this. As buyers, we, you know, you think about this and you're nodding and you're saying, yeah, of course, you know, I know exactly what I want. And nobody can sell me anything that I don't want. I know exactly what I want. It's very specific. But sellers act as if there is no such thing. They're just bragging. I mean, you go to websites and it's all about me and how great I am. And that's not where you're coming from. Where you're coming from is, I want to know if it does this, this, and this. And if I get this out of it, and I make sure that it doesn't do that, you know, it's all very specific. If we don't understand that for our customers, whatever we say to them won't work. That's why the fixation on personas, which is the who, and channels, which is the where, like social and SEO and all that stuff. That's what everybody's been focusing on, the who and the where. But it's what they're thinking. It's what they really want. That if you, and then if you make an offer that recognizes and appeals to that mindset, now you're in hockey stick land. Hockey stick, you know, the chart that goes hockey sticking.
That's fascinating. And I guess one of the things I was getting curious about is, you're talking about mindset-driven marketing. And, you know, when somebody goes out and about and they know they're going to make a purchase, have you noticed differences in their mindset or in their buying behavior when people don't set out to buy something but end up buying something? Or, you know, the person that's just out looking at cars, I don't want to buy today, but now all of a sudden they've bought, or they're sitting in a room at an event, and, or I guess they won't be doing that for a while, but, you know, they're in a training and they're like, I'm not going to buy anything. And next thing you know, they're running to the back of the room to purchase something. Do you notice something different in their behavior, or what's triggering for them?
Well, that's a very interesting question. One of the parts of the mindset equation is, you can market and market and market and market to somebody, but until they're ready, they're not going to buy. Now, then you say, well, what about when somebody has an ongoing problem? Like, let's just take a very simple sort of thing, like women worried about aging. Okay, so it's sort of a thing in the back of your mind as you get older, and it's just, you know, it's something that you're always thinking about. Or a guy who wants a particular, you know, kind of convertible or experience or something, or he's been thinking about buying a motorcycle, but still, that's the beginning of their buying process. And in those cases, a lot of times they're sort of always in the market for a solution. And if somebody comes up with something that addresses their specific mindset, then you're going to get their attention, and then they're going to raise their hand. So that's sort of an ongoing need, I guess. If it's kind of rare, I think anytime you promote something that has absolutely no value to someone, that they're not in the mood for it, they don't care about that, it's not, you can't sell them. You can't convince somebody to buy something that they just don't think they need at all.
That is the real crux for so many heart-based coaching companies and people who have these soft skills. I think in all products, but they're spending their heart trying to convince people to buy something that the other person doesn't believe they need. So I'm so glad you said that. And I've seen that happen over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's sad. And you really have to limit yourself and go after the people who are at that moment. That's the other problem with personas. Just because they're who they are doesn't mean they're in the mood for that. I mean, if somebody's happy in their house, they're not going to go looking. They're not going to be open to being sold a house. It's when they decide that it's time to move. It's an internal decision. Okay, that's it. I'm going to do something about this. And then they're in the market and that's their mindset. And that's when you need to be there when they look.
Well said. Well said. So I'm curious now, in your experience, because obviously you've been studying this for a while, you've had a lot of experience here. What do you think is keeping businesses, companies, service providers from making the shift to selling the way their customers want to buy?
It's crazy to me. I mean, I was one of the first people to identify selling as a buying process years ago. And I kept saying, why aren't they doing this? Well, what brought me to this, by the way, is every time I started a new project for a client, for a CEO of a company or an owner of a company, as a revenue coach, the first thing I did was interview some customers. Didn't take many, 5, 6, 7 interviews. I would have the trend. I could see the trend. I could see the big picture and enough to be bankable, enough data to really work with. And what shocked me after doing this a few times, and now at this point in my career, it's thousands of interviews, hundreds of companies. What I realized is that the assumptions made by the company owners and managers about what their customers cared about and who they were and what their offer, you know, what their mindset was basically, was a list. And then I went out and interviewed customers and their list was completely different every single time. Even people who talked to customers, even guys who were out selling to them, because part of the problem is that when we're purchasing something, and we're talking to a salesperson, we don't tell them what we're really thinking. We're playing poker. We're negotiating. The salesperson can absolutely blow it in the sales call, and we don't say a word. I mean, I do because I'm a sales coach. So I'll say, wait a minute, you just blew it. You just said, let me be honest with you, and I wasn't stopping you before. So let's, you know, don't ever say that kind of thing. But that's me. I'm just a coach. Okay. But usually when we're just being customers, we don't say a word. So the salesperson doesn't actually know what we're really thinking. It's only after we've made the purchase and we've invested our money and our energy and our time and our reputation in that company that if they call us back and say, how was it? What's been the experience? What trends do you see? If you were the CEO of our company tomorrow, what would you fix? I mean, I have these questions in my book. And they're open-ended kinds of questions, not leading the witness like a survey. And you find out what their real list is and what their mindset is and what they would be, what would have worked a lot better if you were selling them the right way.
Mm.
But you have to ask your customers. It's hard for people to do that.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of listening involved in that process instead of like just projecting what you believe. Yeah. You have to actually ask better questions and listen.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny. If you think of, you know, a lot of people have used dating analogies for marketing and stuff, but really what's with common sense, if you were trying to appeal to someone of the opposite sex across the room, you would not stand up and start saying in a loud voice, I'm really great. I do this and this and this and this. And so I'm really great. I mean, nobody would even, the person across the room would look at you and say, well, that's nice, but I'm not interested, you know, because you haven't involved the other person. That's why this mindset thing is so important, because we are going to respect you as a human being, and we're going to figure out what it is you really want. And hopefully we can give that to you. If we can't, then we ought to change what we're doing so that we can. And then, you know, you make an offer that appeals to that mindset. But you really do have to listen first before you can sell. It doesn't work any other way.
Powerful. So how can someone fix this if they need to?
It's easy, really. It's one of those things that's easy but hard. It's like when you give a speech, when I give a speech and I say, okay, everybody in the room, tell me the two things you have to do to lose weight. And everybody goes, oh yeah, eat less, exercise more. Okay, now let's see a show of hands. How many of you are doing it? And nobody raises their hand, maybe two people, the skinny ones, you know. It's really hard to, because you're all wrapped up in your universe of why this is good and why even, you know, you might've been the customer of that kind of product. And then you went off on your own and created a company or a service or whatever to do that. That's all fine. But your buyer is a unique individual. And fortunately, they do share characteristics. So if you find the mindset of 4, 5, 6, 7 people, and they all share that same mindset, then you're okay. You're going to be all right. But you can't guess. So in my book, chapter 3 in particular, I just say, okay, here's how you do it. And I just spilled all the beans, everything I learned from thousands of interviews and hundreds of companies. I just said, okay, here's how you get them on the phone. Here are the questions you ask them. And here's how you take the information, you transcribe it, you tell them you're going to record when you do it, and tell them I'm recording because I can't type as fast as you can talk. And they're fine with that. But you tell them that they're going to go into a report that's anonymized, and you keep that promise so that the people in the company who see the report say, here's what everybody said about that in answer to that question. And that then you start seeing the big trends. And then you do a summary and recommendations report where you sum it all up and you say, okay, this is their mindset. And here's the kind of offer we need to make to appeal to that mindset. And then you go out and do your channels and your campaigns and your A/B testing and all that stuff.
So, you know, what's coming up for me is so many of our listeners are small service-based business owners, or they have online businesses. And yet we have a whole nother group of people who are leading Fortune 500 companies, and they maybe run a multi-million dollar business of some kind. Mm-hmm. Does it change how they discover this or how they go about fixing this process?
No.
Based on the size. So really, we're doing the same thing no matter what kind of business we have.
Yep. I've done this for the tiniest little companies with one person, and I've done this for IBM and Dow Jones and people like that, that, you know, that IBM has 300,000 people. I mean, they're big. Worked with them for about 12 years off and on, helping them with this. And the difference is that they will probably, it's a difference of scale. So for the small business, you might have one type of customer. And so you really only need to talk to 5 people. If you have several different types of customers, then you do have to talk to 5 people of each type to make this work. And if you're a really big company and you've got 10 or 20 other types of customers, you can see what happens. You just need to interview more people. But the actual methodology and how this works, I mean, it's just common sense, human nature. You're getting on the phone with another human being. And by the way, the phone interview, don't ever just do a survey or something. That's just us putting our assumptions up and they're checking off boxes. It's not the same thing. Surveys are really boring. But a conversation with someone where you're interviewing them and you're asking them these open-ended questions, and they'll answer very honestly and helpfully, is what my experience has been. You don't have to pay them or anything. Because again, they've already purchased from you. So they have a vested interest in you being successful. They want you to stick around. So it's just an amazing, simple process. Anyone can do it. I wanted everyone to be able to do it, which is why I wrote the book. That's it. It's pretty straightforward.
Hmm. That is straightforward. And the best part is you already know who your best client is because they've already bought. So you're literally getting inside the mind of and the buying decision process of someone who's already said yes. And this is in your Roadmap to Revenue book.
Yeah. Yeah. And Excellent. Basically you're reverse engineering, you know, reverse engineering is where you take something apart and figure out how it was made. That's exactly what you're doing here. You're taking a successful sale and you're dissecting it in a way that says, oh, okay, well, this is what they were thinking. And this is how they felt about what we did. And here's where we could have improved. And now that they're a customer, these are the things that they think we could be doing better. And here are some opportunities they see. You know, if you have advice for us, you'd be surprised at the advice people have because they're the customer. So they're the one, you know, if somebody asked you, well, what, and if you buy a certain type of product and somebody called you up and, you know, you were very happy with that purchase and they said, what could we do better? I mean, 9 times out of 10, you're going to have advice for them.
Absolutely. I'm being taken back in this memory of last summer sitting, I have a mastermind group and they were all in for their retreat. And I sat with them and I asked them how they got to the point that they knew they wanted to join the mastermind. And interestingly enough, I had made an assumption about what had happened that caused them to want to buy from me. Mm-hmm. And what I discovered in that very unofficial conversation, and I love that you're structuring this in a more systemized way, but what I discovered was a goldmine of their mindset and what it was that really happened that got them to want to apply and get accepted into the group. So mm-hmm. I really recommend that everyone who has a business, everyone who has a service they're selling, whatever your model is, like really, I want you to get the book that Kristen's mm-hmm. sharing with us. And I know, Kristen, you probably got a resource that will help with the first step that people can take. But this is an opportunity to improve your sales, improve the way you message and market to your ideal clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Kristen, what would you encourage somebody to do if they wanted more information from you about how your programs and, you know, how you help people do this yourself?
Well, our website is shivagopartners.com. It's my last name and the word partners because we partner with our clients and I also partner with digital marketing specialists. We are a virtual company and I have found super, super wonderful people in the US mostly who specialize in the various channels or they specialize in a discipline like writing and developing and designing and that kind of thing. And then I also have a core infrastructure team. That was one of my first things because one of the things I learned as a revenue coach was the biggest failings in most cases, in most businesses, is their processes. I have this famous quote that your brand, that branding is the promise that you make and your brand is the promise that you keep. And the way you keep that promise is with your products, your processes, your people, and so on. And the where people always fell down was under processes. So one thing I would say to people is make sure that your processes allow you to keep your promises. Anyway, if they go to zhivagopartners.com, we also have under the resources section, there's a link to my latest writing is the guide to mindset-driven marketing. I'm actually pretty excited about it. It was fun to write and it's super helpful for people to get on the right track. And they can also go to Amazon and get my book. There's Kindle and hardcover and Audible versions. It's better if you read it than listen, just because when I get into the whole buying process thing, there's a lot of like a million different questions that people ask. It's a little harder to follow than it is if you read it. Just FYI.
Well, there goes my decision. I will get it on Amazon then instead of on Audible, which is where I read 90% of my books.
I know.
It's okay.
Sorry
it's
about
good.
That.
Well, it's good. It's good to know. Sometimes there are some books you just have to get in print or you have to get on your Kindle. So,
yeah.
Kristen, this has been really insightful, and I'm very intrigued. I like to kind of get to know you a little bit more. I mean, you have this really fascinating background, and I know you probably had a really interesting journey to get to where you are today. What would you say is the boldest action or step you've had to take to get where you are today in your work?
Yeah, and my answer to that question goes back to when I was 17 and I was trying to work myself through college, save up enough money to go to college. And I was as far as I know, I was the first woman to sell machine shop tools in the United States. And a Pratt & Whitney distributor basically gave me a catalog. And, you know, this is back in the mini skirt days and everything. And, you know, just didn't train me at all. Just said, here's a catalog, go sell. So I did. And I walked into one of the machine shops. It was down in San Diego. And the whole place shut down. And this old guy came out and he said, okay, honey, you know, why are you here? And so I told him, and he said, okay, why is your drill bit better than what I'm using now? And I couldn't answer his question. And of course, when you're 17, you know, you're senior in high school and you think you're hot stuff and all that. And I walked out of there with my tail between my legs. And at that moment, I decided I was going to learn everything I could about selling and technology. And I've never left that. I've been trying to learn everything I could about selling a technology ever since. That guy changed my life.
Wow, what a young age to have that much clarity about your future. I certainly didn't have any clarity about my future at that stage. I was just trying to get through high school.
I was a music major, so don't feel bad. I was actually getting a degree in music. So, that was before I really understood that I did want to career selling, but anyway.
And so just one last question about this, because I really, the whole technology journey we've been on for the last 30 years has been so fascinating. There's so much innovation, there's so much creativity, there's so much that's evolving so rapidly. You know, where do you see was your biggest pivot going from working in the ad space to the coaching that you're doing today?
Well, I'm kind of back in the ad space. I never left the ad space. I mean, in a sense, it's not so much about the channel. Advertising is just another channel. All of this digital stuff is just another channel. It's another way for people to interact with your messaging and figure out, you know, to deliver your message to them. That hasn't changed. The tools, I mean, you're only as good as your apps now. I mean, this is a completely app-driven economy. And I love it. I mean, I do all my management on Slack for the most part, Slack and Zoom. I just think it's the most wonderful way to work. I've always been kind of a virtual company person anyway. So I just think it's giving us more and more tools, and it's giving customers, as I mentioned earlier, ways to help each other with the buying process. And we need to catch up. All of us need to catch up with that and realize that the world has really shifted. That's the biggest shift.
Yeah, it really has. And we will continue to shift. I think we're rapid accelerators now. So yeah. Great.
Well, we're going to have Google in our brains in a chip at some point.
Oh, wow.
I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's kind of going that way. You know, where you'll just think to yourself, I want a red dress. And the next thing in your mind is you see, a parade of various red dresses, and you blink your right eye and you pick one. I mean, that's kind of where we're going.
Well, sometimes it feels like we're there already with the way retargeting is happening.
Oh, yeah.
You think about something and then all of a sudden it starts showing up in your stream. I'm like, wow, did Siri hear that?
Yeah, that's definitely already happening. You are absolutely right.
Well, Kristen, you are amazing. I love the work you're doing. This is really profound. As you're listening in, I highly recommend checking out her work and get a copy of her book. I will link it up in the show notes for you just to make it super easy to find. And I can't wait to hear what you do with this. We are going to create a conversation about this in the Amplifier Success community over on Facebook. If you are not yet a free member of that group, you'll definitely want to join us over there, because I want to hear what you learned from this today and what you will put into action for you to learn how your clients want to buy. Kristen, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. It's a lot of fun.
This is Melanie Benson, your host. Thanks so much for listening in today. If you want to catch up on any of the show notes and circle back on any of the resources we shared in today's show, head on over to the show page at AmplifyYourSuccessPodcast.com. And remember, you amplify your results faster when you're in a community of other people who are moving and shaking. Join us at AmplifyYourSuccessCommunity.com. One last thing. When you've gained insight from today's episode, help us share that and inspire other people by heading over to iTunes, subscribing, and give it a review. iTunes absolutely loves seeing these reviews pop up, and it actually helps boost my show's visibility. So I would be super grateful for your reviews. And as always, I love seeing your shares of these episodes on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Come find me over there. Tag me in your shares. I'll give you some social media love right back. So see you next week for another inspiring episode of Amplify Your Success Podcast.